Network studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and I am joined by Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I am coming to you live from the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan, and Corey is joining us from Green Bay with a very special guest, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we welcome to the show the man, the myth, the legend from Packers.com. It's Wes Hutkowitz!
Yes!
What is
Wes
What's
is
up,
here.
Everybody?
Wes is here to help us break down the upcoming divisional matchup with the Seattle Seahawks. There's no good, bad, and the ugly today, so let's kick it off with some Packers news.
Some Packers news. Hey, guess
what? I'm so excited to be here.
Guess what? The Packers are hosting the Seattle Seahawks in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs.
I love it. The North is not enough, Wes. The North is not enough.
It very much is not, Corey. Now, how fun is this, though, seriously? I mean, it's been 3 years since we've had a chance to go into a playoff week. I was talking with my colleague, my trusted colleague, Mike Spofford, over at Packers.com. You cannot synthesize this type of energy this week. It's around the city. It's around the building. When there is a Packers playoff game and also a ton of snow potentially right around the corner.
It's coming.
It is the most exciting time. It's like a holiday, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Me too. I'm happy to be here. I know Nagler's very jealous that you and I get to hang out right here.
I get to be in Aaron's spot.
Yeah.
Moving on in Packers news. It's going to be cold.
Maybe a storm.
We got a storm Saturday night. Maybe it changes and pushes into Sunday. Maybe. Possibly.
I'm not a very good meteorologist, but I did do my research earlier today, and it's very interesting listening to what this could potentially be. And I also like how they create like three different like forecasts now. So it can be anywhere between like 8 and 18 inches, you know, just give themselves a little bit of breathing room. But you know what? Matt LaFleur said it today at his press conference, too. This team's actually played in some of these conditions before. Yep. When you look at Carolina and Oakland, and it really could be a huge benefit. When you look at Seattle's run game right now, and certainly Marshawn Lynch has a lot of pelts on the wall, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, he is his age. He's been out of the game, and you know, Homer's not exactly a proven commodity at this point. So Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, we know the whole, you know, little shindig that he throws out there about Frozen and being like Olaf and whatnot. It could be a perfect setup for him to have a lot of success on the ground if that band waits and ends up coming in on Sunday night.
Wes, you're getting ahead. You're doing my job for me.
I'm sorry.
You're getting on a tangent. That's part of the offense. But yes, see, you like that, Nagler?
You guys are peas in the pod over there. In a serious note, though, when it comes to Packers news, Brian Bulaga clearing concussion protocol, obviously a huge development with the Seahawks coming to town, who do not rush the passer particularly well, but they do have a guy who does like to bounce from side to side in Clowney. It's nice to have your starting right tackle available.
You know what's the most bizarre thing about this? Aaron's more educated sometimes on this stuff than I am, but when I was actually doing my research this week with Seattle, I didn't realize, I mean, one, that Clowney only had 3 sacks on the year, but two, their leading sacker only had 4 on the season. Like, right. I'm just so accustomed to, I mean, not that they're going to have 15, 18 sack guys every year, but I'm so accustomed to those numbers being a little bit more gaudy, and they really aren't. And if you look at it, Seattle's defense isn't really the impenetrable, you know, force that it had been in years past. It's a little bit different. They're still good.
Yeah.
But it's a different makeup. And certainly Clowney, when you go back to what he did in Houston, he rushed everywhere. They brought him off the line of scrimmage. He's done a little bit more of just the typical edge rusher stuff in Seattle. But you saw in the Philadelphia game how he can really ruin a team's day. So to have Bulaga back, that's a huge, huge plus right now for this offense.
Huge.
And then earlier in this, you know, 2 days ago, we saw Kenny Clark on the side riding the bike. Alarms went off. But then today, Kenny was on the field practicing. He is dealing with a back issue, though, and those are no jokes. So we'll see how he progresses throughout the week.
How did he look at practice?
Good. I mean, we were only in there for probably about 10, 15 minutes, but to see him back in pads, this was their Thursday padded practice. So, I mean, that's very important. Sometimes if your guy's coming off an injury like that and you don't feel comfortable with it, you might wait till Friday. So Matt LaFleur said he is really limited, so we're going to have to see how this takes and how he's going to feel tomorrow. But let's be honest. I mean, you saw that game last week and what Fletcher Cox was able to do inside. If you get Za'Darius Smith moving around, Kenny Clark is such an important piece, not only for this game, but a potential playoff run in the way that he came on in the last month of the season. There's not another guy on the roster like him. There's very few in the entire league like him. He could really disrupt this thing if everything checks out with his back.
Well, and I know we're going to get to defense, but to me, that is the difference. Like, they are the pressure that our front can deliver to any team in the NFL. Yeah. I hope it continues, because if it continues, good things are going to happen for us.
And Seattle's line's banged up. I mean, they're on to Joey Hunt, who's their backup center, with Justin Britt being on injured reserve. Their tackles have been hurting a little bit. Seattle is not known for having this great line. That's been one of the things that's kind of been a knock on them over the years. And if the Packers can make life as difficult as possible with Russell Wilson and collapse from within the pocket with that inside pass rush, that's the blueprint. That's what you have to accomplish.
Now, you talk about good things happening. We got Danny Vitale and Alan Lazard back from injury. But then now today, Vitale's down with an illness. And there's an illness going through this locker room. So, guys, not with each other, but make sure you wash your hands, wash your butt, just like Devontae Adams said.
Listen to Devontae.
I'll be sure to like teach my son that lesson too as we get older here. I had my flu shot just so you, I know, just to make sure you're feeling okay here. I'm not going to spread it.
I'm not really worried about me. I'm more worried about the players. But we're on the back end of it, right? They started getting this about 2 weeks ago, right?
Honestly, Corey, they started getting this last month. Wow. I mean, you look at, I think it was the Washington game. That's when Billy Turner, I think that was the first illness I had seen in the season. He got added an injury report on a Saturday. There was a couple other guys. So you would hope, you know, Aaron Rodgers obviously saying that he's feeling good right now. You would hope that this passes, they can get through it. But thank goodness for the bye, because last week I think it did quite a number on the offensive line.
Before we move on, the injury thing, have you ever seen a Packers team since you've covered that is this least amount? Now there's wood here. I'm knocking on it.
There you go.
But I feel like this is probably the healthiest we've been in 15 years.
So I wrote a story today looking at the defensive back specifically, but using the health of the team as sort of a launching point for that. If you go back to 2014, they lost one defensive starter to an injury. It was before the season with B.J. Raji. This year, it's only Raven Green, and he was a hybrid safety, and certainly they ended up being able to finally plug that role with Ibrahim Campbell. It is the healthiest team I can remember since 14, and maybe even more so. I usually chart on an Excel sheet injuries throughout camp and into the season. I haven't had a chance to do my final one on that, but I would venture to guess when I finally do that, it's going to be pretty comparable, even maybe a bit healthier than that group in 14, which, as I'm sure Aaron can talk about too, I mean, that was an incredible year, especially at the outside linebacker position, to keep those guys on the field.
Well, and that's a big key, obviously, for any run. That's just the NFL. The healthy teams are the ones that have the best chance of going on a run. Doesn't guarantee anything, obviously. All right, so that's Packers news. I think it's time.
We got through it. I didn't go on a tangent.
No, well, a lot of ball game left. Let's talk. And now here comes that opportunity for a tangent, because let's talk about.
Oh, here we go.
Let's talk
here
about
we go.
The offense, and let's talk
Aaron
about
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. Let's talk about it's time. It is time. To quote a former Packers assistant coach, time for Aaron Rodgers to put up or shut up. I thought Mike Tenier had a great piece up at Bleacher Report this morning, laying out everything that Wes's employer has done for this quarterback. Whether it is firing the coach that he hated, whether it was bringing in his newfangled offensive system that everyone was enamored with around the league, whether it was getting all sorts of help on the defensive side of the ball so they could actually have a defense, so Mr. Rodgers wouldn't have to play Superman every week. That's great. Like I said, Wes's employer has come through. It is time. It is time for Aaron Rodgers to show up. What do you think about that there, Benke?
You can start on this. I'm loving the Wes's employer thing. The Green Bay Wes's employer.
The Green Bay Wes's employer. We're not allowed to say the last word. I agree. I mean, look, this team is built to be an ugly winning team, whatever people want to call that. I love that part about it. And it's built for Aaron Rodgers not to have to do everything that Aaron Rodgers does. So people look at it and they go, holy crap, Aaron Rodgers, he's sucking all year. Well, actually, no, he's fitting within what he needs to do. You see it in the second half of games where he still has those lights out. Holy crap, how did he make that throw? Which is how, in my way, it's how I know he's still like got it, yeah. You know, because he still has that pinpoint, you know, accuracy. He still has it, you know, he has these bad halves, which I think people are freaking out about. But, you know, I agree with Nagler. I mean, look, he Super Bowl against the Steelers, as much as defense got us to that game, Aaron Rodgers overcoming everything against him. He took over that game.
Yes.
And he can take over a playoff game, and you really want to see that.
That's a great point, Corey. And that's where I kind of stand on this right now. When you look at how this season has gone for him to this point, has there been times where he's been able to rely on the defense? Absolutely. Has there been times where Aaron Jones has looked to me to be the best running back that the Packers have had going back to Amon-Ra Green's prime? Mm. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And when you're within the red zone, I think the one thing that stands out to me, we can talk about throws and things like that, but when you talk about just his touchdown numbers, this is the best red zone rushing offense that the Packers have had in at least as long as I can remember. Definitely my time on the Packers.
When you talk about Rodgers and people want to look at the numbers, there are legitimate points to be made about how he's possibly fallen off. People want to talk about a lack of supporting cast, but hell, I mean, one of the things Mike outlined is of the 15 qualified quarterbacks with a drop pass rate of less than 5%, Aaron Rodgers is one of them. So, you know, the guys are, when they're given opportunities, for the most part, not always, but for the most part, they're rising to the occasion. The one point, and to what you were just saying there, Wes, where I think, yeah, it makes sense that his touchdown total has dropped off is because of exactly what you're talking about. Whether it is Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams, they have a nose for the end zone in a way that they haven't for some years when it comes to getting into the end zone with a running game.
Yeah, and this is the best foreman in offense I've covered. I mean, as much as people talk about Eddie Lacy as a power back, and he was very good, and in 2013 he carried them all the way on a bad ankle to get as far as they got, and he did it again in 14 at the end of the season. But they weren't a great short yardage team during those years.
No,
Eddie Lacy was a great back, and they were not a great short yardage team. This year, when they need to kill 4 minutes, they can do it. When they need to go up-tempo, they can do it. And when they need to score on the ground within the 20-yard line, they've been able to do it. The big key, I think, going forward here, and this is why I honestly believe you're going to see the best version of Aaron Rodgers here these next couple games. I'm going next couple games there. I'm getting kind of
cocky.
No, but if the Packers are to get on a run here, it's going to be him playing well with the circumstances, because through the course of the year, this team has found ways to win. That's not just a fancy little line. They really have.
They really have.
The Detroit Lions game was another example of that. And I think when all the chips are down, Rodgers has been able to rise to the occasion. Are there throws you want to make? Absolutely. Are there throws you need to step into? Absolutely. But to be at 13-3 and to have a first round bye and to play the way they've played throughout the course of the season, be as balanced as they are. He had a great quote to Larry McCarron on one of our shows this past week saying, you know, this is the moment we've played for, and I want to step up. I'm paraphrasing him, but basically saying, I want to step up and be the guy that this team needs to be. Stats are great. He has tons of them. He has tons of records. At this juncture in his career, he worries about championships, and you're two games away from playing for one.
I just want to say, I said something last show, and I want to see what you think about this take. And Nagler's heard me say this like a million times. But how much do you think it is getting into this new offense over time? How much do you think it is he's still figuring it out? I know people say, well, it's week, you know, 19.
Sure.
But how much do you think that plays into it?
I definitely think it's a part of it. I mean, in terms of being able to decipher what they want to accomplish pre-snap in what needs to be done. I know some people are like, oh, why does the clock go down to 3-2-1? And I see the question every single day in insider inbox, but they really are truly trying to find the best look. And sometimes that's going to be with setting up Aaron Jones. And sometimes it's going to be working their motions and pre-snap stuff. I think all of that plays into this. And for this offense, that's the thing that is mind boggling to me. And, you know, we're going to be talking about different stuff with this, but for the Packers to be at 13 wins, I didn't expect that. I think very few people maybe outside of that building really expected
James
that.
James Jones.
James Jones called it. That's true. Got to give credit to JJ
Jones
on that.
James Jones definitely did that.
But the fact of the matter is this was supposed to be not a rebuilding year, but a reloading year. 9 wins, I think, would have accomplished that goal. This was built with the way that they signed these free agents, the way they drafted these players. This is built to be not a one-year wonder. It's built to be a four-year, five-year window to maximize those years that Aaron Rodgers has. I think when you look at where they're at and how he's performed and where this offense is, I still think it's ahead of schedule when you see what did everybody want, guys? They wanted Aaron Jones to be more of a focal point of this offense. You got that.
Yep.
Davante Adams, they lost him for 4 games. What would that have looked like if he was there the whole time? I see potential there. And I honestly believe with the way the defense performs, if they can stay on this uptick here that they did through the month of December, this team can play with anybody all the way into Miami.
Yeah, you're really right. I tell Nagler this. I distinctly remember we're sitting at my bar downstairs, and I looked at him, and it was one of those moments where it was like during training camp, yeah. And it was like we're in pre-camp mode, and I'm like so excited because it's pre-camp, and I looked at him and I'm like, okay, tell me the truth. Like, do you think we'll make the playoffs this year? Like, I'm like, yeah. just me and him, just egging him. Yeah. And like he realistically, because everybody, you guys all, you know, we talked about it even in camp, but like yeah. Nobody, they were like, if we get to the playoffs, it's a big deal because we have a first-time coach, and that's not a guarantee.
You wanted to see steps of progress, and I think you've seen that throughout the course of the season. And hey, here you are in the early part of January now having a playoff game at Lambeau Field. I get it. Everybody wants to be a top 10, top 5 offense, and the Packers still are on that goal to eventually get there, but they've put themselves in a position to win these games.
They put themselves in a position. Now the quarterback needs to deliver. That's all I'm saying. Is the guy...
He
got his new offensive system. He got his personal quarterbacks coach, and Luke Getsy, his buddy, came back. They got a defense for the guy. It's time for him to step up. All right, moving on. It's going
to
be...
He doesn't... According to him, he doesn't need a quarterback coach,
by
the way.
Yeah, of course. That's why he got his buddy to do the job. So... I would expect, heading into this game, it's something our friend Ben Fennell over at The Athletic highlighted quite a bit on his Twitter feed this week. We're going to look at and we're going to see a lot of window dressing. And we've seen this throughout the year, but I wanted to highlight one video that Ben put together looking at all the different kind of motions, pre-snap motions, that I think are going to be necessary if they want to move the ball against a really good linebacking core of the Seattle Seahawks. Aubrey, if we could roll this, I just want to play what I think is going to be a key is Tyler Irvin in these roles, who wasn't even on the team when they played the Cowboys, which is what, you know, where these clips are from. But these kinds of plays are what opened up running lanes for Aaron Jones that day. Obviously, Jones had a huge day. I think the combination of Tyler Irvin and Aaron Jones could open up something pretty special.
Yeah, absolutely. Is this going to me now?
They can.
Okay, I wasn't sure if we're still rolling video or not.
Yeah, we're rolling.
Here's what I love about Tyler Irvin. You look at the situation. He comes in. He's claimed off waivers, right? This guy was a former fourth-round draft pick. And it was funny talking to him, talking to Aaron Jones about this, because I asked him just out of nowhere, because he came up with that Swervin' Irvin nickname that I think everyone's kind of been able to run with. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I was like, how much did you know about him? He actually knew quite a bit. Because at the same time that Jones was just running through everybody at UTEP, he was doing the same thing at San Jose State. And he's a very talented guy. I mean, I've been incredibly impressed by what he's added. I mean, he's turned the punt return unit completely on its head and what he's brought to the special teams. But as Aaron pointed out, there's a lot of ability in that guy. And I think when you talk about trying to run some of those jet sweep motions and some of the pre-snap stuff, they did it a little bit with Trevor Davis. They did it with Geronimo Allison. Tyler Irvin's set up as well as anybody to handle that role. And I think
he's so different. He's so different. And you saw they came so close to hitting him for a touchdown on the wheel route in Detroit. Yeah. I just think he's on the precipice of doing something pretty special. And once they get him going, look out, because then defenses, their eyes, their keys, what they're looking at, what they think they're looking at, it's going to be a real problem for defensive coordinators and for everybody on the defensive side.
Yeah, and you can't pin your ears back. You can't just sit there and go, okay, there's 33. We're going to go after him, and you're going to try to zip in on him. No, you have to be able to take into account, and both of those guys can catch the ball at the backfield. That's what's impressed me the most with Irvin so far is that he can catch the ball if you get him in space. And to have a guy that fits that mold, I think, is so important for this offense, not just this variation in Green Bay, but when you look at what San Francisco's done and what L.A. did during its run last year, to be able to have guys that can be efficient and effective in those roles, I love it. I love the fact that they saw a guy that was going to help them on kickoff returns and punt returns, and after a week or two decided, you know what, this guy can help us on offense too.
So
I agree.
You're talking about the running backs, right? You're talking about running backs. I think clearly the Seattle Seahawks have one of the best kind of 1-2 punches at inside linebacker. If you're talking about Wagner, is obviously one of the best, and then you pair him with Wright, and they know what they're doing back there. They're very, very talented. Right. This still has to be a game where they have got to feature Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, maybe Irvin to a lesser degree, but the ground game has to come to life. This is a Seahawks team that has not been very good at stopping the run. Once they get that running game going, get play action working, get some rhythm throws for Aaron Rodgers, get that quarterback in a groove, and then it's lights out, for me anyway. I mean, if they can just get that running game going, I think it's all over.
Yeah,
I agree.
You're 100% right, Aaron. I wrote about this with our Insider Inbox column this week. My headline for it was, it has to start on the ground. It absolutely must. I mean, the Packers this season with Aaron Jones, they're 6-0 when he goes over 100 rushing yards. They're 7-0 if you push that, you know, with the performance that he had in Kansas City. Same thing can be said for Jamal Williams, if you need to turn to him. Jamal Williams, in my opinion, would start for quite a few teams in the NFL right now, and I think eventually at some point he's going to get that opportunity to do so. And for this game, when you look at what this matchup is, what these conditions are, it's tailor-made for that. And as Aaron pointed out, Seattle, I think this year is 22nd, 23rd against the run. They're not the team that they once were in that regard. Now, Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright, I am so impressed by those two guys to be 8-9 years into their careers and still be as force, you know, just the force that they are at that position, a position that keeps getting younger and lighter, seems like every year. Those two guys are really dangerous guys. They're going to be able to cover the entire field sideline to sideline. But what can you do to scheme them out of plays to find ways to open things up? There's going to be a lot of pieces for Matt LaFleur to play with.
I love it. I love it. Okay, Corey, we're going to switch it over to your favorite side of the ball. We're going to talk about some defense now.
Defense.
And we're going to talk about your boy, Za'Darius mother effing Smith. Because this guy is about to eat. I just said this on the radio. I'm going to say it again right here. The Seattle Seahawks, there is no way. I don't care if they find some magic elixir this week that magically makes their offensive line 100,000% healthy. They cannot block Za'Darius Smith. They will not be able to, even if they double team him, if they try and triple team him, they're not going to be able to block him. Now, maybe they play keep away. Maybe they run away from him. I think, actually, they'll try and run at him. But whatever they try to do, when it comes time to throw the football, they are not going to be able to block Za'Darius. And that doesn't automatically mean they're going to win or anything like that. I'm just here to say Za'Darius is going to eat on Sunday night.
Well, there's this there's a gap that no one knew about, and it's called the Z gap. And he always finds a way to find that gap.
That's a great line.
I have that on Twitter. A gap, B gap, C gap, Z gap.
Have you trademarked
not
that
yet? Not yet.
Get on top of that.
The other thing is, you can help. Yeah, there you go. You can actually help me with this, but there have been teams that have tried to run at Za'Darius Smith, and he has shut that down.
You know, this is what's great about Za'Darius Smith. This is a rotational outside linebacker from Baltimore, right? That's what it is. Everybody said, even talked about it today. Last year in the playoffs, he was a rotational outside linebacker. I am so impressed by how he defends the run, how he holds his edge when he's outside and then also when he's inside. And I always knew he was special. Everyone's seen it the first 2 months of the season. You don't need to be a scout to understand that this guy's a pretty good athlete and he's a good football player. But it really wasn't until the week before that Washington game where Bill Callahan, speaking to the Washington media, he wasn't even speaking to us, he mentioned how the guy's 62, 63 years old, however long Bill Callahan's been coaching in football and everything. He said, this guy is rare with all the things he can do and all the places you can play him and how he can still be effective. And this was one of the stories I wrote last month. Clay Matthews was fantastic as a rover. That's when he was at his, I thought, his peak in the second half of his career, when they're playing him off the line of scrimmage and being less predictable with him. Julius Peppers can move inside in the dime, put his hand in the dirt, play a three tech. Za'Darius Smith can do it all, man. I mean, he really can.
Well, we haven't seen him cover that many passes.
That's one thing, right? But in terms of
They have dropped him on occasion. He'll get an interception here, Corey. Don't you worry. It's coming.
That would be if Z gets an interception, how crazy will Lambeau Field?
That would probably be one
of the craziest things that Lambeau Field would just erupt.
It'd be so loud. But I mean, this guy, he's changed the culture of the locker room. He's changed the culture on the defensive side of the ball. And for my money, I mean, I called him the people's all-pro is what I said. It doesn't really matter what the AP voters thought. It doesn't matter what the league thought with the Pro Bowl. This guy, this in 2019, was the Packers' best player from beginning to end, and he's here for another 3 years at least.
Can you feel that, like when you say he's changed the culture of the locker room? Like,
yes.
Can you feel that, and not just like, you know how he, like both of those, Preston Smith and Z, like if you watch their social and how they bring the team, like, you know, you and I both know social is this thing that people put out front, then it's not necessarily reality.
Yeah.
But can you feel that
we're
in the locker
avatars.
Room?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
No, you're right. You're 100% correct. And this is a guy that it's just the way he walks around. It's the way he carries himself. It's the conversations that he has. And just the fun, loving, gregarious nature that he's brought to this locker room. I remember the day he walked into the building, he was going up to do his one-on-one with Larry, and I had a very small interaction with him, but just this, he has the type of personality where you sit down there with him for 5 minutes and you do feel like you've known him for 5 years. He's just got an extroverted kind of mindset, and that's just the way he approaches things. And I think when you look at an entire roster, there's a reason, one, why he was picked as a captain. This is the first time walking into the building.
Walks in, captain, yeah.
Throw the C on him. And how, at various intervals of this season, they didn't play well against Baltimore in the preseason game. He brings everybody, he and some other veterans bring everybody back in the building. They're breaking down film, only players, at 3 a.m. here at Lambeau. You look at where they felt like they had a missing void there. They wanted to create some leadership meetings. They went and did that as well, too. It's one thing, and it's all well and good to put out some IG videos and like your teammates' posts and do everything for everybody out there to feel like, you know what, that's a leader.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to actually believe that if you're a teammate in that locker room and you know what you're dealing with. And I think when you look at him, Preston Smith, and also Adrian Amos on the side of the ball, they're all three very different personalities. But seeing how this locker room has accepted them, that has had, I think, a ton to do with not only the success they've had, but when you see the D train and the other things that they've done, I mean, it's a group that generally really does care about each other.
That's awesome. I love to hear that.
I want to get Wes's take on this because I've been asked a lot this week leading up to, I mean, especially after the playoff game, but pretty much all year. DK Metcalf, the rookie receiver for the Seahawks. He's not Randy Moss 2.0 or anything, but he's really come along, and he looks very, you know, like he could have a decent career in Seattle. I think they've utilized him properly. He's improved each and every week, and he had a pretty decent game there against the Eagles. How do you think the Packers are going to go about trying to cover him? Do you expect that to be a Kevin King assignment? Do you think it's committee? How do you a zone? How do you think they're going to approach that?
I still think they're going to play sides. I mean, we're going to see exactly how this works out. It doesn't seem like playing shutdown shadow is something they're really interested in doing week to week. And when they have done it, it's even been a variation of it. You don't see Jair moving around much into the slot unless it's a base type, you know, type of look. I think all those guys are up for it. I think Kevin King, the way that he's played over the last month, the fact that, you know, he's no longer on the injury report, he's getting healthy again. This guy's, you know, there's only so many people walking this earth that are 6'3", 200 pounds, and can run a 4.4. Those are rare traits for a cornerback to have, let alone a human being. So for him, I think on paper, he's the one that stacks up the best to be the guy that gets that assignment. But Jair has shown too. I mean, he can step up and play anybody. It doesn't matter what the size differential is. My guess, and again, it's a big guess, is that they just play the sides, and if they want to give some, you know, cloud coverage and some guys, you know, helping out over the top, you can do that. The biggest thing is you just can't let him get the explosives, because you saw last week how he can
ruin
a football game.
That's what he feasts on, right?
And even right down to the last play. Yeah, I mean, he's that type of player, and. You know, I think the other thing is you're going to probably have Tremont Williams going against Lockett underneath and in the slot. And there's a lot of battles that the Packers defensive backs have to win. But when you look at the past month and 57.9 or whatever it was for their passer rating these last five games, they have to build upon that, because to me, that's the one way, that's the avenue, that's the path to victory for the Seahawks, is if they can get those guys going with explosive plays, which the Packers have, for the most part, cut down on in the second half of the year.
They have. They've given up yards, but they've cut down on the bigger plays.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jair, just he seems to be this very special player. It's crazy, like, how fast he's come up and how good he is. I think people take that for granted.
I think I might have said this to Aaron before in the past too, and maybe one of our conversations. It's one thing to act confident, it's another thing to be confident. And I've seen both types of cornerbacks in Green Bay. I think you look at a guy like Charles Woodson,
a former Packer now residing in Cleveland, comes to mind. I'm sorry. continue.
But all those guys, they are the type of guys that they believed in themselves, they believed in their talent, and if they got beat, you're going to have to beat me again. Jair Alexander was cut from that cloth. And for him to do what he did last year as a 21, 22-year-old rookie, and then to come back this year and to be that accountable again, I want to see what this guy looks like when he's 25. Because if you know anything about his story and where he came from and what his family's been through and how he was raised, this is a guy that's been hungry since the moment he started walking. Mm. And I think that when you mesh in his natural, you know, ability, Jair Alexander is going to be a really special one. If he stays healthy, I think he can be really something else.
I completely agree with that assessment. Now, we're talking about the receivers, Metcalf, Lockett, whatever. The man who pulls the trigger is obviously the key to everything for Seattle. Russell Wilson has broken Packers fans' hearts. We've also watched him have some miserable games against the Packers. I tend to think that continues on Sunday, but if there's a quarterback who can confound you despite whatever great plans you have laid, look no further than last year. Mike Pettine, still the defensive coordinator, I thought had an excellent plan against Russell Wilson. For the most part, did a good job of limiting him there in Seattle. They still won the game. Russell still made things happen. Obviously, containing Russell Wilson, keeping him in the pocket, etc., making him play from the spot, that's all easily said, but it's much harder to do.
He's a remarkable athlete, and the more I've watched him over the years, the more appreciation I've gained for how he plays the game. And I think when you look at him and Aaron Rodgers, those are the two best guys that I've ever seen in terms of playing off schedule and making things happen when maybe there isn't something there. Darnell Savage had a great quote this week basically saying that when you prepare for Russell Wilson, you basically have to prepare for two plays every single down.
Oh, that's good.
Because you might be able to defend the first one, and there might be something the second time that's going to come back and really challenge you. You need to be able to step up to that. And if there was ever a quarterback right now in 2019 that can basically make do with, this litany of injuries that they've dealt with at running back and certainly the offensive line over the last few years, it's Russell Wilson, and he's going to want to make this thing dirty. He's going to want to be able to create plays. You go look at last week, Corey, I think he had, 325 passing yards, 45 rushing yards, and the entire offense for Seattle had 382 yards. He basically generated everything.
Yeah, everything
for them.
He really did,
and got them a win in a case where I thought, for the most part, other than the explosive plays, Philadelphia did a good job against him. You have to be able to stay up on him for 60 minutes, and I think the biggest key is, one, gap integrity up front on the line, but two, also the pressure from within. So whether that's Adarius, Dean Lowry. Kenny Clark.
Your boy,
you need
Corey.
To be able
Dean
to push
Lowry,
up.
Your boy.
Well, I think that I said this only because Dean Lowry, I feel like they're going to have an answer for every thing that we throw at, that Pettine throws at them. But Dean Lowry is one of those, like, hey, you're not gaming for Dean Lowry. Okay. Sure. He's not there yet, but he's one of those guys that when you don't game for him, he's that guy that can step up.
Yeah. Just ask Tampa Bay a couple years ago and some of these other teams that kind of slept on him, and then here he is in your quarterback's face. I mean, that is the type of consistency you get from Lowry, even though he is mostly known as a run guy. But I think that's where you actually get the real pressure, because if you can go up front, as good as their edge rush has been all year long, if you can get it from up front, that's what forces, first, Russell Wilson not to be able to step into the throw, but two, not being able to evade as much, and it's not as much of a go for broke as it is when you're rushing from the outside, because once he gets outside the hashes, man, best of luck to your defense.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, boys, we've talked some football. Now it's the fun time.
Oh, dear.
Aubrey, roll it.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right, it's this week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series.
Obviously, I kind of have West dancing.
Kind of.
A little bit.
Obviously, the biggest news in the Packers blogosphere is that a Packers.com employee is on Packer transplants. But
wait, does he get his own lower third that says Packers.com?
No,
because that didn't happen for us.
Hey,
I don't think.
If I go on Packers.com and I don't get a Cheesehead TV bug, Packers.com doesn't get no bug on our show. That's the way it works.
Should I brought my own and held it up?
It's my lower third.
Okay, hey, let's. This wasn't in the script, but let's talk about that for a second. Wes, can I just say, I love Mike. I love Spofford. He's the man, the myth, the legend. Wished I would have been able to do a video with you on Unscripted last summer.
Much like you, has anyone ever stepped in for either of you guys in doing this show? Like where one of you wasn't here and someone else had to come in? Or is that, have you guys, every single transplant's only been you two?
I think
we just don't do a transplant.
That works too. Well, Unscripted, I don't have that benefit. Spoff has been on every episode of Unscripted. I have not been.
Right.
So I think, we're trying to keep that going.
Anchor.
You and I, let's do it. Sometime this offseason, you and I will do a show, but we just won't call it Unscripted.
Yeah, well,
it'll
just
be like
something.
Nagler or something
but you've
like
been
that.
On my,
just
you,
do it. And then Spock can come in as
you've been on my podcast. Like, you know, we've yes, done stuff
absolutely.
Together. But it was funny because doing the gig, so Spofford said the words Cheesehead TV as we were like filming, and I thought, oh, Cheesehead TV, we're legit, we've arrived. But then we didn't get the lower third, man.
Let's begin.
You gotta talk to the guys over there.
I don't think so.
I think that's probably more of a technological thing than anything else.
But that's my point. I know.
Next time
calling.
I'm sure
I know.
Yeah. I'm sure next time you're in, we will actually get handmade like those little
that's
like cards.
That's adorable.
Next time, wow. He actually said next time you're in, Nagler.
Next time.
Well, You know what? I promise you guys. I'm obviously on camera now. Right. At some point, Aaron Nagler, Wes Hotkowitz, we'll
go.
Do it.
There you go.
We'll
it's
make
on.
It happen.
All right. It's on.
We'll find a way to get your thing in there.
Yeah, right. Speaking of appearances in the media, if you have not yet, if you are a Patreon member, why not? But for Patreon members, I had a lovely conversation with Mina Kimes from ESPN. It's available on our Patreon page. If you want to support what we do, doing great things like having Wes Hotkowitz on from Packers.com on Packer Transplants, please consider giving us $5 a month on Patreon, patreon.com/CheeseheadTV. Had a great conversation with Mina, who obviously is a monster Seahawks fan, but also knows a hell of a lot about football. It was a great conversation. That's up at our Patreon page. So I wanted to give that a shout out. And then I guess we have to talk about this fucking nonsense. Aubrey.
Oh, here we go.
Aubrey, roll this.
Better of a coach is Matt LaFleur than Schottenheimer slash
he's not
okay. How much better are the receivers for Green Bay than
they're worse?
Seattle? Okay, they're worse. Does defense matter?
No.
Okay, so
and the quarterback, Russell Wilson is
played in Wisconsin for 1 year. He's an NC State grad, but he played in Wisconsin for 1 year.
Russell Wilson has been the best thrower of the football this season. He's the best deep ball thrower of the football that we have seen in the past 6 years. Aaron Rodgers is right now a middle-of-the-pack quarterback.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers is not even better than Kirk Cousins right now.
I agree.
So
I'm
unless
with you.
Unless you are Mike Renner, who thinks that Aaron Rodgers is going to put on Superman's cape and be amazing all of a sudden after being below average from a clean pocket all season, unless you're Mike Renner, who's a Green Bay Packers fan, you live in reality, 4 is too many points.
I agree. And
the Green Bay Packers are the most fraudulent 13-3 team you can possibly construct.
All right. Let's just step back before Corey blows up. Let's just break this down, all right? All right. He literally says, "This is a group in PFF whose work I sometimes respect, and then they put out garbage like this and I have to take offense." Look, you can break down numbers and you can talk about the greatest deep thrower, whatever that means. You can talk about all that junk.
Yeah, what does that even mean?
That's fine. But then to be completely dismissive of the defensive side of the football, does defense matter? Nope. Now, look, I understand where you're coming from. Like, the passing game is where the NFL is. I get all that. But defense doesn't matter tells me that you consume football like a moron, that you don't understand the data that you're collecting. And it's why people are so dismissive of PFF grades. Like, you can tell me where a guy played in the slot or lined up on a certain position on defense, and that's why you're valuable. But you're going to sit there and tell me that defense doesn't match? Shut the woke up. Just get out of here with that garbage. Good Lord.
Also, the most fraudulent 13-3 team was the Saints,
thank
by the
you.
Way. And they had
thank
already
you.
Played when he did the video.
Thank,
so
thank
how does that even work?
The most fraudulent 13-3 team ever constructed literally just lost to the team that the team you're talking junk about beat twice, including in their own house, when they turned the ball over three times, you fucking moron!
And also, Kirk Cousins is better than Aaron Rodgers? What planet is this guy living on? What planet? He watched Kirk Cousins in two games and he cherry-picked the games.
All right. Wait.
You're right.
Now let me just point this out. Right. Let me point this out.
Oh,
when
don't
the
even,
man
don't,
says,
"I hope he's not going to do what I think he's going
to do." Well, no. Corey, I guarantee I'm not going to do what you think I'm going to do right now. Because the man said,
okay.
The man said, "Oh, the wide receivers. Oh, they're worse. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, they're worse. Are they? Oh, they're worse. So now you're telling me that DK Metcalf is better than Davante Adams? Or we're going to switch around. Tyler Lockett is better than Davante Adams. Either way, you're a moron. Now, switch it down. Let's go to the number two, shall we? DK Metcalf, who you used a premium pick on if you're Seattle. Fine. He's had a lovely year. He's come on. He's actually learned how to run a fucking route. Well done, kid. But now you're going to turn around and tell me he's worlds better than Alan Lazard, who's totally come on in the second part of the year, been found out, has the trust of his quarterback, who the general manager found off the scrap heap in Jacksonville. And here's an interesting statistic for PFF as they're looking at numbers. Oh, let's look at this. Percentage of receptions for a first down. Pretty important. Pretty important if you want to move the football, move the chains, elongate drives, et cetera, et cetera. We saw Lazard become Mr. Third Down kind of over the last two games. But, Aaron, that's anecdotal. Yeah, that's great. 67.2% of DK Metcalf's receptions have gone for a first down. That's pretty good. 68.6% of Alan Lazard's receptions have gone for a first down. Oh, but the Seattle, so much better. Shut the fuck up. Garbage. Absolute garbage.
Do you have anything to say to that, Wes?
The only thing I want to add, Aaron's running. I'm not going to stop him at this point. No, but here's the thing I've never understood. And I've been like this, honestly. If you go back, you can talk to Pete Torrey about this. I've been the same way, whether I was at the newspaper, whether or not I'm working at Packers.com now. Why people rush to speak in absolutes, I've never understood. What is the benefit to doing that? I mean, yeah, it gets you talking. But you're also not, a sports media outlet. I don't go to PFF for opinion. I go to see, hey, how many pressures did Za'Darius Smith have this year? Something that I can't chart myself or I don't dedicate the time to. I don't really need you to tell me who you think subjectively is better than somebody else. I just need you to tell me how many catches Tyler Lockett had in the slot this season.
Exactly.
So this reason for doing this, I've never understood, because it's like, if you're going to do that, now you are sitting back and you're waiting and wishing, I would imagine, for your theory, your hypothesis that you've just projected out to everyone.
Ding, 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 ding,
to be
ding,
correct.
Ding, 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 ding. Yes.
And there's no need for that. You can think something, and you can talk about it after the season if you want. If you want to spend 6-7 months saying, oh, this is why it didn't work out, or this is why something happened, the jury's now done deliberating. You can make that call if you feel the really need to, but everything that you said can be pulled apart in a couple days.
Yeah, well, and I don't mean to shit on anybody, but I'll bring up someone who I don't listen to anymore for that very reason, and that's Bill Michaels, because he'll spend the first quarter and the second quarter talking so much shit about the Packers, and then when the Packers come back, like, he's got nothing. And I've told him on Twitter, I've been like, why are you doing that? That's not your job. Your job as an entertainer is, I'm far be it for me to tell anybody what their job is, Wes. But Bill, he's not on this script, but he's one of those guys that I think does the same thing, where it's like, you're just saying this so you can be right later.
Can I tell you a little story? Do we have time for me to tell a little story? This is something, this was in a formative year, and Aaron's going to remember
Wes,
this name too.
Wes. This is the internet.
Yes.
We have all the time you want, buddy.
Well, I know there's workers out there maybe want to get home to their family. I'm just want to make sure I'm not going too long here. But I go back to 2014, and it was a conversation I actually had with some people when I came on board. It's a very small thing, mind you. This is not a big overarching statement that I made, but I was very vehemently positive and opinionated that Ted Thompson made a cataclysmically terrible decision in not carrying Jamal Roll onto the 53-man roster in 2014. And I wrote story after story about it, because then if you remember him, he ended up going to Houston.
I don't remember him.
He ended up going to Houston. He had got three interceptions in like four games or something like that. So I just destroyed the Packers all offseason about this. Jamal Roll comes back the next year with the Texans, does nothing, and the Packers end up moving forward. I believe that was 2015, and generally speaking, they had some promise there in Casey Hayward and whatnot.
Yep.
I looked like a fool because I was basically condemning. I feel like I looked like a fool. I was condemning Ted Thompson for not keeping this undrafted free agent who ended up not really becoming anything in the long run, because I just felt like, this guy, why did you get rid of him? And I felt the need to pontificate this to everyone. And realistically, I could have just kept that my opinion to myself, watched how things played out, and just moved on with my life from there. But sometimes, if you want to put it out there, if you want to raise the white flag and say, this is what I think, come look at me, here's my tweets, here's my videos, here's my stories, sometimes people come back too, and they put that in your nose.
They put it in your nose.
More and more so with social media.
Yeah. I meant it. I'm kind of like, like that.
You know, Wes, you can swear on this program. It's okay. You know, you're not on the clock right now.
Hey, you can.
It's
you know
okay.
I'm a father now, so I'm trying to clean it up a little bit more.
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Because you were so dirty before. Yeah, you were such a potty mouth.
Actually, I was.
I think if you asked Pete that though.
I was told by Jason Wilde that we swear too much, so I've been trying to clean it up, but I'm failing.
Oh, did he really say that?
Yeah,
we do.
Okay. We were in the locker room.
And then what's funny is we do, and I do because of Nagler, mm-hmm. and then now he yells at me when I do.
See,
and I'm like, you're the one that started it.
I like it. It's like a little bit of policing of each other, though.
A little bit.
You want to make it eligible so everybody can enjoy transplants, whether it's a 6-year-old or a 60-year-old, right?
Yeah. Well. When we're on YouTube, we definitely put, we're not making content for children. So.
Yeah,
I don't think any child should be watching this right now.
100%. Okay, hey, I got to tell everybody. So, because I've had a lot of people asking, a whole lot of people, and I haven't said publicly what we're doing for the game, because Corey, obviously, is in Green Bay. Wes will be in the press box because he's a baller. Corey will be attending his first game this year. Corey,
of the season.
I want you.
Whoa!
Yeah, exactly. Corey, I want you to explain to the people.
Get the breaking news thing underneath here.
Can we? Can we? Corey.
Okay.
Corey, can you explain to folks?
I mean, I've been here for every game and training camp.
But you haven't gone. I remember talking. Okay.
Yeah.
So Corey, explain to the folks.
No, I've been to every game and training camp here
at home. Why you fly to Green Bay? For every home game, and sit in your house and watch the game on TV.
It's beautiful.
And then now you have chosen to grace Lambeau with your presence.
Well, I've only missed one playoff game since 2007.
Keep talking, because I got to run to the MCR for a second, so just vamp.
Oh, Lord.
Go ahead.
Okay. And then, two, if you watch a game from here, it's crazy. I don't know if you've seen on Twitter, I see the fireworks, so, like, I almost timed it this time where I was like, oh, I think you have to go ahead. So you're, like, in 1.5 plays, they're going to get a touchdown, so I start filming, and you see the fireworks 4 seconds before you see it on TV.
So
it's great, because you see the fireworks in Lambeau, and then you go to the television, and then they score a touchdown.
So that doesn't, like, frustrate you?
I love it.
Really? Oh, nice.
I love it. I don't know.
If you don't hear them, though, you don't think
they
go so
well, bad. And yeah, you know, like, I'm like, no, it didn't happen. No, it didn't happen. No, it didn't happen. And then I see it. I'm like, something happened. And then I watch the television, you know?
Yeah.
And the other thing that's cool is the flyover comes right over our house and they go that way. And it's amazing.
Yeah, and they do that flyover. They'll practice it during the week, and it scares the living bejesus out of me.
I'm
sitting at my desk. It's like, oh, where's that coming from? Because they never really give us
they never tell you the time.
No,
and then they'll do like three of them, and I'll come out, and then they don't do that last one. But the best was two seasons ago, they did the Ospreys. They had three Ospreys.
Right? Yes.
Dude, they were just hanging here. And I've told people this, and I'm not being I've never seen Ospreys like that.
Yeah.
They were sitting over my house, and it's scary. You're like, if I was a terrorist, you're scared. You're like, wow, I some stuff's about to happen right now.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
It is neat. And that's always one of the very special things about game day. And especially when you sync it up right with the national anthem and that, and it's It doesn't really get much better than that.
Yeah, but I mean, I love being in Wisconsin. I love this energy. I love, you know.
Yeah, so I got to ask you, so you're going to go to the game?
Yeah, I'm going with my sister in my grandfather's seat.
So the full disclosure, the background for people that are watching is at the beginning of the season, I was like, hey, so when are you going to a game? You're like, I'm not going to games this year. I'm just going to stay here. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. You should go to the games. You always go to the games. You bought a house here to go to games. No, I'm going to stay here. Okay, cool. So now you've changed that.
No, though. Just for the playoffs.
Just for the playoffs.
Yeah, I go to the playoffs.
All right, cool.
You know, awesome. If you're going to go to games, you might as well go to a playoff.
Absolutely.
And there's some precedence here because Corey went on the epic journey back in 2010 where he attended every playoff game.
Atlanta, Chicago, man. Dallas.
That's a good run.
That's pretty amazing.
That's fun.
Front row for Philly. We were front row. Front row for Atlanta. I did all front row that year.
Did you really?
And they were really. Yeah, it was crazy.
How did you make that happen?
It was also
front row in Arizona. We won't talk about that one.
I was front row in Arizona, and I was front row in Seattle.
Yeah. Which one was the one that you got on NFL Films for?
Well, I was Arizona. On NFL. Rachel and I were on NFL Films for Arizona. As he throws the Hail Mary, you can see us in the background.
Yeah.
And then also in Seattle, they come to me. They come to me for the dejected Packer fan.
Oh, you were dejected.
Yeah, 2014, I'm the dejected Packer fan. Oh. You see half my face, and I'm not looking happy. It's really sad.
Yeah, I remember
and,
there was
and
one
actually, three playoffs and Dallas Cowboys when Jared Cook caught the ball at the
That's
end.
That's right.
Oh, so you got a good one.
I got one good one.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm probably in more Packer NFL playoff highlight videos than any other fan.
And that's why
it's something to live for, Wes.
Seat. That's why you're creating those memories.
That's
absolutely
right.
I'm with you on that.
I love it.
But to let everyone know, because I've had a lot of people ask, so Corey will be at the game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm obviously not in Green Bay. I'm here in New York. I will be on a watch party that is not here in the LiveX studios. I will be at Barstool with my friend Liz, who asked me to attend their watch party with a couple other Packers fans, but the live stream will be available here on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. So, if you want the Cheesehead TV,
subscribe to our YouTube channel, people.
Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you're ready. We'll be watching. I'm going to support my friend Liz because she's very nervous. I'm like, the Packers got this. She's very, very nervous. Thinks Russell Wilson's going to dominate, etc. And I'm telling her she's silly, but.
Are there going to be Seattle fans?
I think it's just going to be four Packers fans.
Okay.
So it'll be a lot of fun.
I feel like Barstool's going to do something to you guys. Like they're going to open a door and there's going to be like
here's
all these
37
Seattle
of your favorite Seattle Seahawks.
They're going to open a door and Brian Bosworth is going to like walk through and goes, hey guys, I'm here to watch the game. Like, it'd be great. Can't wait. Really looking forward to that.
12th man.
Yeah.
Exactly. So hey, let's get to some what do you call them? So some chats from the folks,
chats.
The fine
Super
folks, chat. Starting with Troy Span, who says, "Love Wes, you a goat. You crack me up on Unscripted." So look at that. Someone literally.
Aww. There you go. There's some unscripted transplant spillover.
It's like the old like 90s shows and like the two things that kind of mix and match each other. No, that's very nice of Troy. We appreciate that. That's we just did our 500th episode. Can you believe
Holy
that?
Moly! Yeah. This is episode 194. So yeah.
You should try doing this for a decade, for God's sakes.
Over a decade. How 13 years?
How Spofford and I haven't like. Destroyed each other yet? I don't know.
That's a lot of ball game left.
It's only been 4 years.
I'm sure I would get so bored of Nagler because I knew if we did it this show every day, I would get so bored.
Yeah, we only go 22 minutes, so that helps.
Right?
22 minutes, depending on what it is. And the off season we cut back. Like it's only during the regular season we go every day. So off season we'll only go every once in a while. So.
When you got that Mevo cam for the live hits,
yeah,
it's pretty cool. You got the really wide angle.
Yeah. It's been fun and it's been neat, you know, especially for someone like me. Aaron knows this. I wasn't meant for this. I wasn't built for this. I didn't go to school for this. I just sort of became this because that's where the industry went. And that's if you're going to write, you also better put your face out there and get to know your readers. So that's one thing I've tried to do. Unfortunately, with Unscripted, it's really allowed.
I love how you guys always tend to go live right as Transplants is going live.
That's interesting.
Funny.
Interesting
that
how that
awesome.
Works, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. Because we that day. I forget what it was. Actually, it was probably on you guys, right? Because we always go Fridays at 4. We always go.
I think we moved the time. Yeah.
But my favorite part about that, and I've saved this clip. I mean, Aaron says some really funny stuff and it cracks me up. But it's my disapproving father, Corey, in the background, just sitting there going... It says nothing. It's just absolutely perfect. I was cracking up for like 20 minutes
That's
after
hilarious.
That. And we're trying to do the Periscope. I can't understand you at that time, what Aaron's saying, but all I see is Corey in the background. It was awesome.
Well, it's what I enjoy about your guys' stream is you and Spoff never have the dour look that Silverstein has in their stream. So like him and Ryan, they have the look of like... And like, it's like, guys, you're live. No, they do a good job, but it's like, guys, do you ever watch it back and see how like there's a minute of you just looking dour?
No, wait, Corey. You know? Have you noticed? Go back and watch, I think it was yesterday or the day before, on the Green Bay Press Gazette, the Packers News live stream. Literally, Spoon gives a like a perky face like at the start because I think he's realized you've pointed it out so many times at this point. He's like, oh, I gotta be happy.
I screen grab one. There's one. I'm not trying. Spoon is a legend. Is a legend. He is. I say whatever shit, everything, anything I say is in jest. He is a professional. He is. But his dour looks, they are so money. They're so gold.
Can I tell my favorite story for Rob Domofsky once? So yes. In 2012, we started those live streaming ones. Did I tell you the story before, Aaron? I can't remember. I think I might have. They decided, you know what, we're going to start live streaming. I hope I can say that word. I know that is
that's
a former.
All
yeah,
good.
That's fine.
All good.
It's a thing, bro.
So this is before the NFL changed all their, they changed all their live stream stuff. You know, Livy and them, they do live streams before the games with Pete. They're terrific. And Livy does a fantastic job over there. And you can do it at the stadium. You can do it there. We couldn't do that in 2012. We had to go over to Skyline Park.
Oh, yeah. I remember
live
those.
From stadium
I remember.
Drive
yeah,
over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where we had to do it. We couldn't be on NFL property and the NFL, you know, yada, yada, yada. They sent Domofsky out there with me.
Oh,
they
God.
Said, Rob's going to do it. And it was the coldest, crappiest. There's snow in our face. Rob has no interest in being
He's
there.
He's like, why am I here?
And literally, at one point of the thing, I ask him a question because we're trying to take questions off of live stream. And I ask him a question, and Rob just goes, and he says, I wish I had the video clip this. He goes, I don't know, Wes. I'm a reporter. Just totally no-sells me. And I'm like, I'm trying to kill like a half an hour doing this because we wanted to hit a half an hour on it. And it was just terrible. That was the only time Rob Domofsky ever did a live stream with us. The next week, Pete Doherty started doing it, and Pete's been doing it ever since.
So Rob basically demoted himself.
He did, and he would sit in the press box instead, and he would do the pregame inactives.
Hey,
and
but
Pete would come
hey,
down and
hey,
do
hey. But
the
Rob
show with me.
Also found himself employed by the Mouse, and now gets paid to be on television.
Is
so.
That fun? Yeah.
Yeah. And he's got to do those hits.
And
he's
it goes
build
back
that time.
To what I say.
Can you imagine if he did that on air with ESPN?
Oh, my God, that'd be hilarious.
I'm a reporter.
So Rob, what do you think about Aaron Rodgers' chance to this? I'm a reporter. I don't want to talk about it. No, I mean, it was fun. And it was absolutely miserable. I have a screen cap of it. I wish this is before the days where you could just screen record everything. I have a great screen cap of it, and it's Rob just bundled up like he's in the middle of the Arctic for this interview, and he's just not liking life at all. And
well, speaking of bundled up, your co-host, Mike Spofford, today I saw this thumbnail and there's like John Kuhn on one side, totally like he's got like a T-shirt on, I think.
Yeah.
You got Rock on the other side and he's like complete. He doesn't have a jacket or anything. And then here's Spofford and he's got like a full coat on. He's got like a hat on and he's like, guys, I'm cold. I can't do this anymore.
The one thing they messed up too on it. Well, they didn't mess up, but. They put poor Spot, and I do the same thing too. They put us right between a former 3-time Pro Bowler, 2-time All Pro, and Larry, and it's Spoff and I, 5'0", 100 and nothing, and then you throw all that gear on him, and he just is like Kenny from South Park in the middle of it. I mean, it just wasn't working.
It's a really good look.
But,
it's really hilarious.
But God bless Spoff. He's been amazing to work with, and him and I switch off on those three things. So I actually am very thankful that he went out there with all that clothing because that meant I didn't have to.
There you go.
That's the key. All right. I love that that response was to the first chat, and now we have like 100 more to get to. So, okay, I'm gonna go lightning round here. You guys just shut up for a second. All right, we got super chat from James. James, thank you so much. Let's go. So hyped for this game. I've missed playoff football. Go Pack, go. NFC Championship game. Here we come. James, totally agree. Braden.
All right.
Braden says, Braden, thanks for the super chat. I love this. Steve Buscemi is Mike Spofford's doppelganger. I'm in.
Oh, man.
I'm in on that. Unculture Barbarian, Barbarian says, I'm so glad Wes came on the program to carry the G. You darn right.
There you go.
Love that.
Got the G right there. He had to pay for this jacket,
though. Yeah, I did.
We're not going to, I mean, you want to tell tales out of school, that's fine, but I'm just sitting here. Wendy Vance, thank you so much for the super chat. Show everyone the pack is good. 13-3 team. Go Pack Go. Thank you, Wendy. Dustin, buy Wes a beer for coming on the show. Please check his ID first. This has been one of the best transplants yet, and that's saying a lot. Carry the G. Thank you, Dustin.
Can I say something quick,
Aaron?
Yep. Fortunately, I've finally gone past the age of being ID'd every time I walk into a bar. But this was as recently as...
Really? They don't ID
I finally
you?
Did. I was,
Get
I was
out
so,
of
this
here.
Season in particular, I've been able to walk into bars and no one IDs me. 5 years ago, so that would have been 2000 and what, 14, 13, somewhere around there, I went to Marcus Theater. They ID'd me there.
For a movie?
Not for a beer. To like literally to go to a rated R movie. For anyone watching at home, you need to be 17 years old to go to a rated R movie, and they freaking ID'd me at like 25.
What did your wife say?
Oh, she loved it. Yeah, she thought it was the funniest
thing. Like,
she's
what about
with
me?
A young stud. Yeah, no. I like it.
Yeah. It was just, I don't know if the young man didn't know exactly what he was doing or what, but like, I'm like, are you like, really? Like, if.
Did you just want to jump over and punch him?
No, I didn't know.
You weren't mad about it?
No.
I know you
I'm
wouldn't do that, but
no,
I'm
but
just,
I mean, like,
I'm a nihilist.
I'm a conscientious objector. No, but I mean, it was just funny. That was like, it's one thing to get carded if you're at the bar. I get it. They're, like, if you're 50 now, they just want to make sure, but like, I was at the movie theater. Like, what do you think I'm trying to do here? You know?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's good. It's good. Folk 34 gives us DK Metcalf is Jeff Janis with a QB that trusts him. I'm down with that assessment. I like that.
Okay.
Unculture Barbarian says, does Wes know the legendary Aunt Gert?
No.
I don't think I do.
No. You haven't met her.
Would you like to educate me?
No, she's my great aunt. She's turning 95.
Oh, nice.
She was a substitute teacher in Calumet in Brown County.
Oh, fantastic.
For like so long. And she comes on our show, and everybody thought that she was the special guest today.
Oh, and then they were disappointed when they saw me.
Probably. But she's amazing.
Bless
and
your heart.
Saturday's her, we're not doing a meetup or anything because Saturday's her birthday. You just haven't met her. But if you met her, she called Alan Lazard, meaning like she called his uprising.
Oh, she totally did. She totally did. This training camp. This training camp. She said he's the guy. He's the one who's going to emerge, and she was 1,000,000,000% right.
And she liked Vitale. She had like her list of guys that she saw at camp that she liked.
That's awesome.
So
no, that's terrific.
She's still like her football mind is like, and she's gone to games since the 40s,
really?
40s, 50s.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, wish her happy birthday for me.
I will.
Jesse Wicht. Okay, let's talk about Russell's record at Lambeau. Thanks for the super chat. And Russell's record at Lambeau is pretty abysmal. You know, the boy has not been able to get it done. I don't see that changing on Sunday. What do you think, Wes?
I think it's going to be interesting how this game plays out, what the temperature is going to be
Not as interesting. That nonsense. No one's watching.
It's like
Duke
anything.
Bobber isn't
the
coming
Packers.
Through the door. Just give us a yes or no. Are the Packers going to win on Sunday?
Oh yeah, yeah.
There
I think
you
absolutely.
Go. That's what I'm talking about.
And I think they're gonna get after Russell Wilson. The only reason I'm cautioning myself a little bit, this gave myself some cushion. One, because of what I said 20 minutes ago.
Right.
But two, Dom Capers had his number.
Yeah, he did.
He really
Very
did.
True. Very
and
true.
Dom had fantastic schemes, and he used Matthews and those guys in the right ways to be able to defend him. Petten was very promising last year. I want to see it again, though. But I really do believe.
I feel you.
If he's in the pocket, I feel like it's going to be a really hard day for him in this offense. Especially, they rushed for 19 yards last week with their backs. 17 carries for 19 yards.
You said
yards.
He had 34, right?
He had 45.
45.
They had 52
45.
Yards rushing, and
Crazy.
It was mostly him. So, I have the Packers winning. I think they're going to get the job done against Wilson.
Klondike,
but you got to do it because he can win dirty.
Yeah. Klondike 69-16 as the most important question of the day. Does Wes drink old fashions?
No, he doesn't. But I have a
Why
special
are you answering,
drinks that
Corey?
He can drink.
The question was for Wes.
Because this is, you know, I'm the bartender. Never, I know what people like to drink.
Never had an old fashioned in my life.
What?
Yeah, no, I'm just not. I've never been. No. Sorry. I had a Shirley Temple once, Aaron. You like that? It's never been my
I
thing.
Thought
hey,
you carried the G.
We always
Wes.
Joke about this. I know. I'm a disappointment to so many, including my father. I mean, my dad's the biggest, like, our basement is just all Pabst stuff. I mean, he has everything. And him and I could not be any more dissimilar from who we are. We love each other. We're great friends, and I'm his only son, and it's cool. But yeah, I'm the least Wisconsin person you've probably ever met. That is.
No, I don't agree with that. Because I've talked to you since I've known you. I know how you are one of the most OG Green Bay guys I've ever met.
I am from here. Yes,
exactly. And you know a lot of history about the high school and high school sports and what that's meant to Green Bay and the town. And like, in that way, in the alcohol way, I totally hear you.
And that's a lost art too. And there's some tremendous reporters that are coming up, but Wildy and I always talk about this too. You don't really see the prep to NFL route anymore. It just doesn't seem to
anymore. You were like one of the rare people that did that.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the guy who is now with NFL Network who preceded you,
Tom Pelissero.
Tom Pelissero.
Tom came in as assistant.
Did that similar thing.
Yeah. So it's been fun. It's been a great ride. I'm sorry I don't drink old fashioned.
You are such a disappointment. Keith P. says the Green Bay Packers are going to be the most fraudulent Super Bowl champions. I'm down with that, man. I'm down with it.
There you go.
Herbert Kitchener.
Hey, man. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
We're moving forward.
No. Go.
All right.
It's so funny. Like, and I know that was in jest, but it's just. There's 8 teams left in the playoffs. Like, I mean, if you want to start nitpicking things, fine. But there's 24 that are at home right now.
That's ridiculous.
Amen to that. Herbert says Aaron trying so hard to bleep his curses and then Corey just flat out curses. Yeah, it's funny how that works. That's why I started.
Yep.
Here's a very important point from Martin W. Wes is carrying the G. That's okay. That's great. Wes has nailed it. There, definitely carrying the G. Calvin Albers.
Thank you.
Happy early birthday to the best mom, Nancy Albers. So hey, Nancy, shout out on Packer Transplants. Your son gave you a super chat. Happy birthday. Tyler, with a super chat, thank you so much. 1, keep Jimmy Graham off the field, please. 2, I am coming in for the game from California. Will I be okay in Vans, or should I get a pair of boots? Go Pack, go.
Oh, my Lord. Wear some boots.
Yeah, get some boots. If you want to save those Vans, get some boots, for sure. I'm going to be wearing boots to the stadium.
What?
With my suit.
Don't you have like a heat warmer and everything?
I do.
Don't you have like an assistant that just like makes you warm all the time?
No, we have to park over
you
in lot
9. You and Spoff have like an intern, right?
Yeah. We have to park over in lot 9. That's all gravel and snow.
Yeah, wow, they is. Lot 9 you?
Yeah, we're lot 9.
That's
lot
the media
9.
Lot, wow. Banky. Yeah, that's so where I always gotta park and you got to walk in. Yeah, 100%. And finally, the final.
So I want to keep my dress shoes running.
Final super chat. Joseph says Wes and Bukowski in 1 week. Cheesehead TV is making moves. Kuhn or Olivia Reiner next. #Hold the G. Hold the G. There you go. There you go. We're holding
Kuhn's
the G, Banky.
Kuhn, yeah.
Make that happen.
We gotta get Kuhn over here.
John's been a great addition.
He's been a really good pickup for you guys. Yeah. It was good to have another football guy in the house that you guys can kind of throw off of.
Well, and it's just he's learned. I'm not to jump over your arm, but he's learned so much. And what he's done, I think I don't know. I honestly don't get to listen to him during games as far as the radio is concerned because of everything else we're doing, and I don't really get a chance to go back and listen to those things, but. What he's brought to our video department and then how he's viewed within the building with the fan base, that was a home run hire for them to have him in the building and him and Larry together. I mean, he brings a lot, and he's been a ton of fun to work with for sure.
Yeah.
And 12 has another buddy in the building, which is always good. Anything else to add, gentlemen?
It's been a lot of fun. I thank you guys for having me. It's it was one of these things that I was planning to get together with Corey here, and I threw out a remark, and here I am jumping on the show, and it's a real pleasure to be here.
It's like an ISIS hostage
now,
video.
Of course,
it really is. I like it.
Yeah.
Now, of course, if Aaron would have been here, then maybe we could have played Madden.
No. But who would you play in Madden?
Who would I play?
Yeah.
I guess my team, or
So it'd be Packers.
That's what we'd be Packers.
Oh, you have to. If it's me versus him, you have to have the same team.
You wouldn't play Seahawks?
No. Unless you guys need to.
Who do you think's better at Madden? Who do you think's better at Madden, you or Nagler?
Probably right now, being completely honest, even though we played around and fooled around with this in camp, it probably is Aaron right now. I have not played a lot. If you want to go back 6 years ago, I was a pretty mean Madden player.
Oh, you got to go back that far?
Well, I never upgraded to PS4. I got older. I got a child. I started covering the team. It's
you
more difficult.
You sound like
to do
Crabtree. Crabtree came to Banky's house talking all sorts of junk. Yeah. I want next. Blah, blah,
he
blah.
Did.
Sat him down, whooped his ass.
He did.
Hot quits, and then
how did that go? It was bad.
I whooped him, and he was the Ravens for God's sakes. And so now, you know, he used the same
yeah, it
excuse.
It was Packers Ravens.
All right,
yeah.
he used the same excuse.
Let's do it this way. It's like a big fight build, right?
Yeah.
You do like the whole you know, Conor McGregor's gonna fight here in a week or whatever. Yeah. Set a date. Let's play to it. Let's promo it. Give
You're
me some time
down,
to get
Hot
back.
Oh, You're going
get
down.
Some time.
Your mama's gonna wish you had never been born. You're going down, Hot quits. You're going down.
I'm gonna cut out this video, and then after I'm walking out back to my car following victory, I'm just gonna have it playing in my cell phone the entire time.
You know,
I'm
the fools, they never learn, Banky. They never learn.
No, they don't. They don't. They want to try to dethrone.
Anything else? Anything else before we jet here?
I want to say one more thing. Since the very beginning, one of the reasons I definitely want to be able to come on to Transplants, and I've been on before a couple times on the phone, since the very beginning, and Aaron, I love you. You've been tremendous to me, and I appreciate everything. Corey Banky has legitimately been one of my biggest supporters going back to when I was barely even could be qualified as a Packers reporter, and has always been a guy that has been very encouraging to me in my career and also a good friend. So when we made this decision to come over here, and as much as I would love to have Aaron with me here as well, to actually be able to do this with you was a real privilege, and I appreciate it.
No, thank you.
I thank you guys for welcoming me to jump into the house tonight.
Gonna make me cry.
Well, that'll do it for this week's installment of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who stopped by, including and especially Wes Hodkowitz from Packers.com, chatting Packers with us. That's why Corey and I are here. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
Hey, Winston, I'm sorry. Where is the Winston that has given us illumination and information in past press conferences? Do we do something that you're down on us again? But this was what, last week it didn't go very well, and we want to talk about your guys, and I'm not quite sure what you want from us to make that happen.
I can't help you.